Ready for another quality podcast?
Okay, here we go.
All thanks to Endeavour Homes, builders of quality. And for premium inclusions you can afford, search the Foundation Series by Endeavour Homes. This is the Pete and Kimber podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, on the trumpet, Kimber.
I just had that song stuck in my head.
Just caught the last little bit of that.
What song is that?
It is a... I don't know what that song is. If you know that song, can you text us? 0480021945. It's some sort of hip hop, R&B crunk.
And if you can just write in the text the song that Kimber was brrring.
Yeah.
Because technology's changed the way that, you know, everyone used to come up to you and be like, you know that song, it goes, you're like, mate.
Now you can just Shazam that shit.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? Occasionally what I'll do, this is how clever Siri has gotten. Occasionally what I'll do is I'll like, hey, Siri, can you play that song that goes and sing a bit of the line and Siri will find the song for me?
Assuming you get the lyrics right.
I think so, yeah. What are they? What, it's not, if you, it's a Mondegreen, isn't it, if you don't get the lyrics right?
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what it is. Oh. Hi, welcome to the podcast, by the way.
Hi. I like those words that are like... You know, like you don't know the word very well. The word I love is Lulworth.
Lulworth? What's that?
A Lulworth is the sound, that gap where someone's shouting in a club and then the music goes quiet and everyone hears the next bit that you say.
Oh, wow.
It's that bit where, you know, it's like you're shouting and then everything else goes dead and it's just you've really loudly gone. And then I scratched myself.
Hey, this podcast's a bit packed, isn't it?
Look, most of the shows are.
Like, it's got so much, there's so much happening on this podcast, we had to put part of the podcast on another podcast.
Yeah, if you're looking for the wag who called us to talk about her ex-partner, who was a high-profile footballer who cheated on her while he was overseas in the States, and she found out by the cloud, the devices were linked, and he turns out he's thick. He was really thick.
Yeah, and not that kind of thick.
And I know, I'm not saying footballers are stupid. I'm just saying this guy
was stupid.
Yeah. But that's on another podcast. But here you'll get Ellie Baker, who is an OnlyFans content creator, who I have sort of accused of just making up a story about her dad watching her content because I think she's trying to get likes.
At the beginning, though, but she won you. I feel like she won you over a little bit by the
she's
end of the
She's quite sweet,
chat.
Isn't she?
She is sweet. She's very sweet.
Yeah.
Shane Hum, who's the Pete and Kimber Show lawyer, was in to talk about the Bruce Lerman defamation case, him losing against Network 10 and Lisa Wilkinson, and now his life is proper screwed. Like, his life was screwed before, but his life is proper screwed
I don't know
now.
If it is. I mean, he's been declared a rapist, so he'll probably get a job on, like, Dancing with the Stars or one of the... Like, he'll be on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Actually, you know
Quick,
what?
Give me a Channel 9 show so that they all feel that they have been...
Married at First Sight.
And Married at First Sight, just so that they've all been... They've all... I've had a sling at all of them.
Accused rapist.
But they do. Like,
I know they do. No, this is the crazy thing, right? I was laughing because it was a joke, and then I was thinking to myself, you know what? If I was a Network 10 producer wanting to blow the ratings up on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, I'd chase the shit out of him.
I mean, it would be next level on maths though, wouldn't it? To be like, oh, great, I got paired with a rapist. Like,
oh, my God.
Amazing. I mean, there's plenty of them out there. We just don't know them.
How'd you catch them cheating? We heard some stories about that.
Mm.
We had to dump someone in that one. That was a little ripper.
She just decided to swear in the middle of
chat. We're in the podcast now, so it's okay. She you'll hear the rest of the story, but she told her husband to get the fuck out of the house.
And Pete and I, our eyes were like saucers. They go really big and we look at each other and there's this shared moment of like, oh my God, we're in so much trouble. Someone pushed the dump button so that kids in cars didn't hear it.
Yeah, and they didn't, thankfully. Neighbor Wars.
The Neighbor Wars is brilliant. I know that everyone's heard the Neighbor Wars sort of, you know, gear before. It was like Today Tonight where they used to just, everyone's fighting with a neighbor.
Yeah.
But this happened to Tim at our station. This happened to Tim Lawton and he, it's excellent the way he handles it.
Today Tonight, my, like a, how would I put him? His family married into our family. Yeah, his family married into our family. Old Uncle Al, we'd call him.
Mm.
And he was the typical one of the grainy footage from the neighbours, you know, like JVC bloody camcorder.
Mm-hmm.
With him, who had like just a stockpile of absolute shit in his backyard. And then he's over the fence just like ripping obscenities at the person videoing him.
Well, this is the guy that was in your family.
He was on Today Tonight in that footage. And I remember, like, I was a kid and I was looking at it and I was like, that looks like Uncle Al. Holy shit, that's Uncle Al. Hey, Mum, Uncle Al's on the television. And then, yeah, she ran
that's
in
what
the
you want to be
like,
on
yeah.
for.
Yeah, God, yeah.
Your moment on TV. You're the neighbour who's abusing everybody and storing rubbish.
And he looked like a proper hoarder and he talked like, oh, you fucking, like
that's
that.
Too many swear
like,
words for one podcast.
Sorry,
Pete.
I'm sorry. We'll move on to Coachella game.
The Coachella game, I love this game. Kerrod plays it every time there's a festival coming up and he gives us fake band names and real band names and we have to work out which ones are which. And my track record is terrible. It's absolutely terrible on this game.
You'll hear the band names coming up. They're brilliant. He's so good.
I mean, one of them was something like, you know, foreskin fetish.
Phallic fettuccine. That's what it was.
Sorry, I was close.
Jeez, foreskin fetish is a good one, though. Far out. That's a ripper. All right, there you go. Have a podcast.
Thanks. Bye.
Australian OnlyFans star Ellie Baker shocked to find out dad watches her racy videos.
Gross.
Ellie Baker joins us on the show now. Good morning. Welcome to the Pete and Kimber Show. Ellie, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Straight up, how did you find out dad was watching your videos?
Well, he sent me after months of no contact a very brutal text message with...
Why was there months of no contact?
He was upset that I had been doing OnlyFans and just decided to cut me out of his life. And yeah, that was that.
Are you like a full frontal nudity, sexual intercourse OnlyFans star? Like, are you that far? What kind of OnlyFans star are you?
Yes, I am. But it's all solo content. That's just me. So right. There's no intercourse with anybody else.
Okay. But dad found. Was he watching or did he, like, in inverted
commas,
catch
you? That's too many questions.
You?
She hasn't even had a chance to answer your first question, which was.
What was it?
That he obviously cut her out of his life, and after months of no contact, he reached out and said what?
He just pretty much told me how he felt about me. He said some really horrible things and it was like, he was describing context out of my videos and the only way that he could know that if he had watched them himself. And I was quite a shock.
Mm.
Telling us.
I mean, look, you know, Ellie, forgive me, I say this with total respect, but I take these stories with a grain of salt because how do we know that this is just not a chance for you to boost your profile?
Oh, exactly. But I mean, it's not something I don't think anybody would make up. Like when I found out that he had actually watched it himself, my stomach just sunk. I felt so sick. I felt disgusted. I felt violated. And it just... like, that's my dad. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's just so wrong on so many levels. Like, I just, yeah. I think if you had to make that up, you're pretty sick yourself.
I suppose he could sort of, like, find out that you're on OnlyFans and then make assumptions and then be upset at you. But he's clearly found you on OnlyFans, paid the subscription fee.
Mm-hmm.
To get past the gate to have a look at what it is that you're up to.
Well, how does that affect your relationship with your mum and everybody else in your family? Have you got siblings?
I do, yes. We don't speak. My mum, when I first told her, she was a little bit taken back, as you would imagine. But, I mean, she's realised that I'm doing it to support my family. I've got two young children. I mean, I've got bills to pay. Because they're only quite young, like, I don't want to go back to a 9-to-5. I get to spend so much time with them this way. And she was understanding. She was like, look, you're happy, you're healthy, you're safe, you're supporting your family. And she's supportive of me that way. She still doesn't agree with it, but she's on board.
Yeah, but how does everybody feel about the fact about your dad? Like, this is the thing. I'm like, if that was my sibling and they were on OnlyFans and this situation had happened, now I'd be questioning my dad as well. Even I'm not on the platform, has this not affected your entire family?
No, I mean, my family is quite small, so I've only really got mum and her side of the family. Dad's kind of side has just drifted off, which we've never really been that close with his side of the family. But, I don't know. It just
stalks.
Yeah, sounds just
very.
So when he reached out to you, did you just basically fob him off, or did you try to explain what was going on and at least have some sort of civil conversation and then just be like, nah, this isn't working?
Yeah, well, look, I reached out first because it was months and months and months without contact. Like, he found out via another family member. I didn't actually get the chance to tell him myself because, well, I was going to, but as you know, it's not something easy that you would like to tell your dad what you do for a living. Mm. Anyway, he found out through somebody else, and then he was just, sorry, what was the question? I'm just rambling.
I get it. There's a lot to unpack here.
Look, Ellie. At the very least, Ellie, if it's broken your entire family structure down, at the very least, how many subscribers have you gained in the last 6 days since the story came out?
Since the last 6 days, there's been a couple of hundred. So,
100.
Yeah.
What do you make every month, Ellie? Like, for, you know, what's a top tier package, and what do you make every month on OnlyFans? Is it lucrative for you?
It's very helpful, and it's way more than mine would get on a 9-to-5. It kind of fluctuates because it depends on who sticks around and who comes in and who, like.
Is
it's very
tax-free?
No, because you'd have to have it under an ABN. You'd have to.
What do you write down when you put on
to pay the tax?
When you go through the airport and you have to put your occupation, or when you're talking to the ATO, what bracket do you come under?
It'd be writer, wouldn't it?
Entertainment.
Content creator.
Content creator.
Content creator. That's great.
Yeah.
So do you think you could ever...
It becomes a bit awkward when you have to write those things down.
There was another OnlyFans creator that I'd heard about, wasn't through research or anything, I'd heard about, found out her dad was watching and decided to put all those videos together and charge a premium subscription called the Daddy Package.
She made a package for him.
Yeah. Any thoughts? Any?
Oh, my God.
Any ideas around that, Ellie? What do you reckon?
No, thank you. No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
It scarred me. No.
All right, Ellie Baker, OnlyFans content creator, who's joined us on the show this morning to talk to us about her dad viewing her videos, which is just absolutely insane. Thanks for taking the time. And I'm with you. Who wants a 9-to-5 when you can have a 69?
Oh, honestly.
The Pete and Kimber podcast.
The Bruce Lerman defamation case that he brought against Network 10 and Lisa Wilkinson has gone absolutely pear-shaped for him. If you missed the news yesterday, this is what happened.
Justice Michael Lee couldn't have made it clearer.
Mr. Lerman raped Miss Higgins.
Noting it wasn't proven to a criminal standard, but on the balance of probabilities, Lerman raped Brittany Higgins at Parliament House that night.
Mr. Lerman's state of mind was such that he was indifferent to Miss Higgins' consent and just went ahead willy-nilly.
To unpack this, the Pete and Kimber Show lawyer Shane Hum joins us from Hum Law. Good to have you on the show, mate. Now, just quickly, can we start by you just explaining what's the difference between a civil court case and a criminal court case?
Well, there's good to be here. There's two standards, and that's probably because of the consequences that are involved with a civil case and a criminal case. To give you a quick example, let's say there were two naughty radio hosts and they were working for a hit station and they rummaged through the prize cupboard, or, you know, the prize drawer for the radio station, and they stole a certain prize. The radio station might have a civil claim against the radio host. I'm not alleging anything, by the way. But they might have a civil claim where the penalty basically is probably them losing their job. But of course, if they've done that, it might also be a crime, maybe theft, where, as a possibility, depending on what they stole, allegedly stole, and if they're guilty of it, they would go to jail. And so with the case in hand here, the same thing, the same action, the bad, terrible deed, of course, can be both a civil thing for the purposes of defamation, where a reputation is allegedly ruined, or a crime, of course, where you can end up in jail for a very long time.
So, Shane, after the mistrial, it was basically, I guess, commonly accepted that Bruce Lemon was not a rapist, that it didn't happen, and that, or not under the way that they had described, and then he was basically walking free, other than the fact that he said, well, I want to sue Channel 10 and Lisa Wilkinson for this case of defamation. Now that this has come out, are there legal complications for him? Does he face anything now?
I wouldn't say so. I mean, I wouldn't agree completely convinced saying that it was commonly accepted that, you know, he wasn't a rapist. The standard to lock someone up in jail, you know, our society as a matter of law says you've got to prove the crime to a really high standard. And that's not really talked about much in this, in the media coverage, because it's not a criminal case. The criminal standard is beyond reasonable doubt. You know, you hear that in the movie. So to put someone in jail, we've got to prove it. The police got to prove a crime to that very, very high standard. And there's so many rules and procedures. And it wasn't that he was found not guilty. It was that a juror, one of the jury members of the criminal case, you know, brought in an academic paper or something like that. And the case was cancelled. And then they could have continued the case on for a second time with a new jury, but they decided not to do that because of the victim's, you know, mental state.
So he was a fool, really. He's a fool for bringing this up, and because he's just really, like, undone everything.
Well, there's those words. Having escaped the lion's den, Mr. Lerman made the mistake of coming back for his hat. That's what Justice Lee had to say, and now it's bitten him fair in the arse.
Yeah, you're an astute scholar, there, Pete. That's exactly right. I mean, he pretty much, you know, he really did escape the lines, and they were very apt words. He didn't get out there, you know, by being found not guilty. He got out there by, you know, something tantamount to sheer luck, where there was some juris conduct and the police didn't continue. So, yeah, to go back.
So,
in
Shane, I dare say now the next thing would be Network 10 and Lisa Wilkinson. Would they be chasing the fee? Like, would there be the, like, damages for fees and stuff like that? It, you know, what is Bruce Lerman up for millions of dollars of fees here?
Yeah, probably to some extent. I mean, in generally in civil law, if you win or lose the case, we say cost follows the event. So basically, if you win the case, the losing side, whichever that one you're on, typically pays the legal costs, you know, for the winning party. So, you know, he's probably up for a legal bill. I don't know who's footing it, you know, probably some other media organisation or Channel 7, but I don't know. I'm just speculating.
Oh, mate, I can tell you, no amount of money could top the fact that he is now a rapist.
Can he sue the judge for defamation for calling him a rapist?
Well, you know, he's done a lazy, you know, 320-page judgment. So, interestingly, it's a really sort of interesting space where you've got a sort of a proxy trial in a civil matter where a judge examines the evidence as opposed to, you know, the jury making this decision. So he's really gone through chapter and verse, I think, on Oceanside, in making the findings, you know, of fact ultimate. But again, it's on a lower standard. He wasn't satisfied beyond reasonable doubt that, you know, he was a rapist. He was satisfied on balance of probabilities, which is the civil standard.
Just quickly, sorry, Shane, that term, balance of probabilities, which is, there'll be a lot of people out there who will hang on to that and go, well, they didn't really prove it, did they? It's just that they kind of said, oh, there was a lot of stuff that kind of goes, you know what, you probably did it. Was there anything extra submitted in this civil case that we hadn't heard that wasn't submitted in the criminal case that could make the judge go, oh, mate, you did it?
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of stuff. I mean, it was like a trial in of itself. And, you know, the same material may have come up in the criminal trial or parts of it. I don't know the full extent they had gone through, but I mean, they heard their own evidence. They, you know, saw their own documents, but there was certainly an overlap of the documents. That was one of the major issues because, you know, Bruce had, you know, the rapist had come into some documents through the criminal proceedings, and it's, you know, Justice Lee thought that he had actually leaked those documents, which is against all sorts of court rules.
Yeah, sure.
I sort of accept it. I've dumbed it down and said to Pete, I think if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck. So
it's a rapist. That's what, Shane.
Thanks so much, Shane. You know, you help us get our heads around the legal stuff, and also it's just nice to have someone in our back pocket in case we need it for Pete.
Yeah, I know you'll use it.
Your premise earlier on is entirely predicated on the fact that there's anything worth stealing out of the prize cupboard. To be honest with you, thanks, mate.
Awesome, thanks guys, thanks for having me.
We were just chatting to a former WAG, and check out how she found out that her partner was cheating on her.
He was over on the street at the time. I was at home using our iPad that we shared, and obviously there's a general misunderstanding of how the iPad works in the community, because he had forgotten that his iPad was connected to our iPad that we use, and I had notifications come through quite consistently of text messages. I had a look at the messages, and unfortunately there were some very intimate personal messages between him and a woman who was also over in the state, arranging for the two of them to end up at his hotel over that day.
Bless you.
Sorry about that cough. You know, when we did that interview, I pushed the button here. We have a mute button here that mutes the mic when you cough. And I coughed into my jumper.
Yeah.
Why could I still hear myself?
Because it's loud. You're coughing in your 40s. When you start coughing in your 40s, it gets really loud.
Now, do you know, Pete, I've done some research.
Oh, hit me with the research.
To find out the number one way that people get caught cheating. It's phones.
Okay. Phones.
Yep.
Like, so that was the WAG told us was the connected iCloud account.
Yeah. Number one outright way that people are caught cheating now is calls or texts to their partners, right? And the other people they're seeing. But there's actually different ways that men and women are exposed to their affairs.
Is that right?
Yeah, I've got top 10 ways that both genders are exposed.
Okay.
Most of them are pretty common, right? Amongst the list, in a few different places, it's like, look, they're exposed by someone who knows them and tells them, hey, you're doing this. It might be the lover that exposes them because they want the partner's marriage to break up or whatever.
Oh, so they can move in.
Yeah, but here's a few little differences.
Mm.
So number one, outright calls or texts to the lover caught. The second way that women are exposed, stubble rash from where they've been kissing their lover.
No way!
And for men, the partner smells lover's perfume on their clothes. So that's number two for both of them, is a physical recognition that something has happened, right?
Oh, the stubble rash.
Around number five, suspicious spending is on both around the same time. Around five and six on both lists is suspicious spending.
Yeah.
Here's the one that is mostly different. All of them are pretty similar, but here's the one that stands out as different. Number three on the way that women are exposed as having an affair is that they confess. Right? So number one is the calls. Number two is the stubble rash. Number three, they confess.
Jeez, that's high up on the list, hey?
For men, though.
Yeah.
Number 10. They confess. They try all the other options before the confession.
They've probably got that list in their pocket somewhere, going through the top nine.
Oh, it's a dodgy thing though, cheating on a partner. I don't know. I don't know. James and I have had really open conversations about this. Mm. We've been very upfront from the start. We've been like, look, if you ever feel that you're losing interest or that there's someone else in your life, or you suddenly meet someone and you think there's some sort of connection or whatever, it's a crappy conversation to have. It's crap. No one wants to have it.
Yeah.
But I would rather have a conversation. I respect him too much and love him too much to go, hey, like, you know, if there's someone else, before it happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just go, if it's not for you, it's not for you. I don't.
Unfortunately, for a lot of people, it doesn't end up there first. It ends up with one of those top 10.
Because they're afraid to have a conversation.
How did you catch them cheating? Did you hear any one of those top 10s and thought, oh, that's me? That was in my relationship. Let's go right to the phone. Sue in Cloverdale, how did you find out your husband was cheating on you? What happened?
Well, I decided I need to go to the toilet and on my way to the toilet. I heard the door was closed in the spare room. I heard a few noises. And then decided to open the door and turn the light on, and there's my husband in bed with my stepsister.
So, hang on. Whoa, before hang on. You decided to go to the toilet, what were you just watching TV in the other room? How did this come about?
Well, she'd come over for a visit, and I had to go to work early the next morning, so I decided to go to bed. Those two obviously sat up, and I went to bed, and fell asleep, and then I woke up and thought I'd go to the loo, and he was nowhere to be found. And on my way to the loo, I decided to go past the spare room, open the door and turn the light on, and there they were.
God, under the same roof on the same... Did she come over and visit often, Sue?
No.
So what did you do when you saw them there? I've been curious because you see in the movies, some people will overreact or some people will throw things. Other people will just go silent and walk away. What did you do?
I said to him, I said, you get the f*** out of this room.
Well then,
Someone said an oopsie.
Yeah, no, a real big oopsie.
It was a great story.
It was such a good story. Oh my goodness, it was such a good story.
But,
that we had to
but there was
it.
An oopsie.
I mean, I don't blame her for what she said.
No.
If I'm completely
what happened to
honest.
The sister, though. Stepsister. Wow. Okay. Let's go to Arnie and Les Murdy. Arnie, try not to swear. How did you find out they were cheating? This only happened to you earlier this year.
It was through Facebook. And after a 7-year relationship, I'd been with for 8 years. It was a very deep relationship. We had planned out baby names and also planned out first dance and what she'd walk down the aisle to. Planned out everything. And
how did you see it on Facebook?
One of my friends showed me a post that she, because I'm not really on Facebook, so I imagine she's was happy to post it there. But one of my friends showed me a post where she had just gotten engaged, but not to me. And that has screwed me up psychologically, I'm going to say.
Mate.
Arnie, that's terrible.
Whoa.
And so, I tried contacting the other guy to make sure, because, it didn't seem like he had done anything wrong.
Yeah,
and
he probably didn't know.
And then she started contacting people saying that I was, harassing her and stuff, and so a bunch of people kind of abandoned me.
So, Arnie, has this all happened in Perth? This other guy, is he here in Perth too? What?
She's a friend she... he was a friend she made at uni, and... They did go into the same apartment so they can.
Let's just get this straight. Wow. So all three of you are here in Perth. You're not on Facebook much. She's posted on Facebook that she's got engaged to another guy, and this has happened 7 years into your relationship with her.
Yeah,
this is nuts.
Based on based on his Facebook post, it looked like she had been lying and cheating for the past 5 years.
Yeah. 5 years? Did you know him?
I had met him once, but I suspect that she kept us apart so that we wouldn't converse and stuff.
Of course.
Definitely keep that separate. This is only the kind of thing you put on Facebook. What is she thinking?
Arnie,
I'm sorry that happened to you.
Yeah. Are you okay, mate? Because you mentioned screwed you up a bit, but
the week it happened when everyone abandoned me and stuff. I was too nauseous to eat. I was completely starving from not eating, and stress had given me a lot of diarrhea. So, I was running on empty and for a week, and I hadn't experienced what a panic attack felt like. Until that point, and I got to experience one for a whole week, month
of all of that.
Arnie, take care of yourself, hey, and try and keep an open heart, because it's such a shame when really good people lose happy love for the rest of their lives because they don't trust anyone or whatever after that. Mm. So take care of you,
and better off without it, by the sounds of things.
Dreadful. There is so much in this story that we have to get to the guts of it straight away.
I have been just sitting at home twiddling my thumbs waiting for it the entire day since yesterday, since we first heard about it, Tim.
Please welcome our guest, the Tim Lawton Experience.
Hello, guys. Normally I'm not on air this early in the morning, so...
No, but we had to get you in early to tell us... the neighbour war that has been kicking off in your area.
Yeah.
What happened?
Okay, so yeah, there's been neighbour wars, there's been bin wars, I guess you could call it, the bin wars 2024.
Yep.
So we live in a set of villas, right? Your classic subdivided block, four on the block, so we're all fairly close to each other. And someone in the block of units let their bin get a bit stinky, shall we say.
When you say a bit stinky.
And when I say a bit stinky, I mean it was like living next to a landfill.
Right.
Like I think maybe they missed the collection the week before or something. Okay, it happens to all of us, mm-hmm. right? We all get a stinky bin sometimes. But instead of actually dealing with it, like double wrapping everything in the big, you know, the big
bags,
thick black Glad bags or something, they basically just put their bin out on the verge and let it stink out the whole neighbourhood.
With a series of bin bags and stuff on the ground next to it and yeah, around look the at, area.
There's often some spillage out of that particular bin. Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, nappies on the ground and whatever else.
But
so anyway, someone in the street, one of our neighbours that doesn't live in my block of units, someone must have got annoyed with the smell, right? And in the middle of the night, literally at like 20 minutes past midnight, they've decided to do something about the smell.
Mm-hmm.
And what they decided to do was go to the stinky bin out on the verge, get a couple of the bags of stinky rubbish out of it, and they for some reason assumed that it was my rubbish, that it belonged to my villa.
Because mm-hmm. of all the kids right? you got running around
even
in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though we had nothing to do right. with it. It was our next door neighbour.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, they've come down the driveway, thrown a couple of bags of the stinking rotting meat, maggot-infested rubbish on my doorstep.
And all the bags have split open.
The bags are split open. There is literally, when we came out of the house the next morning, we were literally walking in rubbish and festering meat and maggots crawling on our doorstep.
Now, we've seen the footage.
Yeah.
The footage is insane.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, cameras. And so you've obviously been wronged here because you're like, that's not even my rubbish.
That's not exactly.
You've taken the next step, which is clearing all the rubbish up and doing what with it?
Yeah, so I had to kind of scoop it up in, you know, with a shovel, and there were bits of it that I did actually have to handle. And so you can imagine me scrubbing my hands for like hours afterwards and get it back in the bags and put it into a box.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which, you know, I could have been a real a-hole
mm-hmm.
and just taken it to the neighbours who were responsible for it and dumped it on their doorstep.
What did you do
maggots
with the box?
And all.
I dumped it on their doorstep, but he put it in a box.
So I put it in a box. No, excuse me, Kimber, I was very nice. I put it in a box.
Yeah, so it's on the correct neighbour
yeah,
now.
So I then took it down to the people who, you know, who should have had it dumped on their doorstep with a little note, very polite note saying, hey, someone thought this rubbish was mine, dumped it on my doorstep. Can you please deal with it?
Yep.
Unit B.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And anyway, things came
and
to...
And then the war started.
Yeah, things came to a head on the weekend. We ended up having a bit of a screaming match with each other in the driveway.
Oh, brilliant.
And here's the thing. We've kind of made up now. Me and the smelly rubbish people, we've kind of made up now because, pardon me, you know, they apologised. Everything's cool. They're not bad people. They didn't mean it to happen. Now, we're all searching for the rubbish bag thrower off the security camera.
Bin Laden.
Yes.
Right. Wow.
Someone from the Bin Laden family.
Gotcha.
See, I thought this was going to take a different turn.
He's out
I
there.
Thought what was going to happen is that the person who dumped the rubbish and you were going to form an alliance on the family that did the dodge. But it's gone the other way.
No, we don't know who it is. So now all of us in the block of villas, we're now all searching for the rubbish bag.
This is like Survivor Padbury.
Yeah, and we're pretty sure.
If you're someone who's done this at 20 past 12 at night in your robe, we saw you.
Yeah.
And we know it's you. You put it on the wrong neighbour.
Yeah, dumped the rubbish on the wrong doorstep.
Okay.
And now we are all searching for you.
Oh.
Neighbour wars.
Yes.
Neighbour wars.
Neighbour wars are, they destroy your world.
God, plants, fences.
The neighbour that was throwing dirty nappies and used sanitary pads on my roof.
Right.
And
why?
Over my fence.
Why? What'd you do to them, though?
They claimed it wasn't them. And it couldn't come from anywhere else. It had to come from their place. And they were like, it wasn't us. And I think it was her son. I think it was her child just being an angry teenage boy.
Kids don't like
but it was
you, do
disgusting.
They? Yeah,
no,
right.
They don't. But I mean, I'm not going to deal with sanitary pads and use nappies. I'm not tolerating
That's
that.
That's gross. Michelle in Thornley, tell us about your neighbour war.
My neighbour war is that a year or two ago, my neighbour brought me over and said, look, I found this galah. It's a really beautiful galah. It was somebody's pet. He had a big dog at the time, and that kind of scared me, but he kept it in a room at his house, and it just pooped everywhere. It chewed everything, whatever it be. And I put a post up on Facebook, and I found a lady contacted me, and she was able to prove that it was hers, even down to the markings on it and a bare patch on the chest. So I rang him and I let him know that I found the owner, and I gave her his number, thinking that he'd be grateful for it. And he went off his tree and said, I told you not to get involved. This is none of your business. I'm keeping the bird. In the meantime, the lady's gone around to, you know, trying to ring him, and he said, it's not yours, you're not having it. And it went on for, you know, a good few hours because she was adamant she wanted her bird back. And he just got really vindictive and really, really nasty. But she came around with some friends initially as backup, one of them, you know, husband and wife friends, to have a bit of protection because he's not the nicest person.
Yeah.
And that didn't work. So they actually had to ring the police and get intervention, and the threat of them turning up, which one of them did, for him to actually give the bird back. And to this day, we haven't spoken. Anything he can do that was nasty for the first 6 months, he would do. Anything to inconvenience the street with parking of cars and things like that, he would do.
Oh, it's the worst, because yeah, once you start the war, you can't take it back with neighbours. But all over a galah.
Yeah.
Like, the police have got other stuff to do.
All right, we've got Paul in West Perth. Good morning to you, mate. Tell us about your neighbour war.
Yeah, well, I bought a house a few years back, and the lawn out front was real bad. So I put some seed down, I watered it, I looked after it. And there's a little 2-metre strip in which I share with my neighbour. And I mow it, I look after it. And he'll see a weed and he'll spray it with Roundup. So there's a big patch of dead lawn, or over 2-metre patch of dead lawn. And then the rest of it's good. Then I'll keep reseeding it, keep fertilising it, keep watering it, get it back to green, then he sprays it again. And I've had words with him, and he's like, well, that's my part of it. I can do what I want with it. And I'm like, well, it looks real bad. Like,
why wouldn't anybody allow that to happen? If my neighbour wants to mow my lawn and take care of it, yeah, like, thank you very much. Let me bring your bins in for you.
Yep, and he keeps spraying it, and I've had words, and we got into an argument about it, and he was like, well, I'll spray your whole lawn and all this stuff. And, he threatened to do that.
And living in a community is tough, huh?
People are so stupid, aren't they?
Very, very.
We're
very
such a dumb species. Like, you don't like it, I'll round up your whole lawn. All right, good on you, mate. Far out. Good morning, Carrot. Hi, Carrot.
Hello, Pete. Hello, Kimber.
Hi.
Fancy seeing you guys in here.
It's a delight to have you back.
Well, it's a delight to be in here because, as you guys may or may not know, Coachella is on at the moment. Now, Coachella runs over 2 weekends. So we're actually halfway through Coachella.
Is Coachella only one of the only surviving festivals?
Yes, it is, because earlier this year I bought you some real or fake band names from Splendor in the Grass. That did not make the cut. Yeah. Splendor in the Grass is not going ahead.
Yep.
I also did Glastonbury a little bit earlier this year. That is actually going ahead.
There's a lot of, like, if you're a 90s early 00s music fan, which most of us are now, there's a lot of surprises for us. Like, Will Smith has played. He did the Men in Black.
Yeah.
We've had Kesha, and she changed the lyrics to the song, you know, the beginning of the song, because of all of everything that's happening at the moment with P. Diddy.
Mm-hmm.
And she changed the lyrics to wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy to wake up in the morning like P. Diddy.
Wow.
The footage is incredible. No Doubt came back.
Yeah, Blur as well are on the lineup. Well, I have some of the more interesting band names from Coachella 2024.
I love this.
Now, this actually aligns perfectly with what me and a few of my friends, Tom and Nick, do, where we come up with fake band names. We used to all be in a band together back in the day. And so we used to make jokes about band names and that kind of stuff. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read out a little bit of my weekend at Coachella, per se.
Okay,
and I want you to see if you can try and figure out which ones are the real band names and which ones are the fake band names.
Did you have groupies when you?
We definitely did not. We were nowhere
near
big enough.
Even in your imaginary fantasy game of creating a band, you didn't make groupies? Like, this is like Sims. You could have had anything.
We
could be playing Wembley.
And we definitely could have. Anyway, that's not part of the
game.
They
just played Wembley down here.
We played the Wembley, the Wembley Bottle-O. All right, guys, last weekend was wild. Did you guys happen to see Feeble Little Horse?
Horse?
No, I think I missed them because they're not real.
No, I saw them and, God, they instantly became one of my favourites.
Yeah, you're right, Pete, because they're a real band.
Yeah.
But this weekend, like, I'm absolutely hanging out for Clown Corps. It's going to be rad.
Clown Corps.
I can't wait to see Clown Corps as well.
Clown Corps.
Yeah. Big fan.
No, they're not real.
No, Clown Corps are real.
Damn it.
Clown Corps are a real band. Now, when I was walking around at the festival over the weekend, I happened to see the drummer for Wallace the Gromit.
Yes, you did.
Big band. Yep, big fan.
Big band.
And me too. I saw that drummer as well. Yeah, really? And the rest of the band.
Such a grommet.
You're both talking rubbish because that's a fake band. Wallace the Grommet does not exist.
That would be a great band name.
After them, though, I happened to go into the same tent that they were playing and saw Phallic Fettuccine.
If it's not real, I want it to be. Someone pick it up and run with it.
It's alliteration. I'm going to go with it that it's a real band. Phallic Fettuccine, 100%.
That is a concoction of my mate Nick. He came up with that. That's a fake band name. No one steal that because I'm going to use it one day.
Yeah, love that.
Then couple of multiple band names within these. Have you guys seen the headliners for the third stage? So there's Jockstrap as well as Narrowhead.
Oh, Narrowhead, big. I love them. I really like what they're working with.
I've heard you can't have one without the other.
I don't think Jockstrap are playing.
No.
They're both real.
Oh.
And they both exist and they're both playing at Coachella 2024. And finally, guys.
What's Jockstrap's number one hit? I'm going to look it up. Carry on.
I'm absolutely hanging out for this weekend, guys. This Sunday, three bands back to back to back. We've got Motocross Johnson, we've got Beef Lickin', and we've got Gene Creamin'.
Beef Lickin' and Gene Creamin'.
Are we all keen? Are we, like, we're getting our Sunday tickets? We're
what
good
was
to
the
go?
First one?
It's Motocross Johnson.
Motocross Johnson. Beef Lickin'.
I don't think we can see any of them. I think I'm too banded out. I don't think we can see any of them.
I'm going to see Gene Creamin' after I've finished seeing Jockstrap.
You can go see them down at the Wembley Bodlo. No, none of them exist. None of them exist. They're all fake.
The Foundation Series from Endeavour Homes is the affordable alternative with premium inclusions. Endeavour Homes, builders of quality.